AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope that you're having a great Monday and a great start to your week. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. We had a great weekend at First Baptist Texarkana, wonderful service Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, we had our quarterly membership class and just had a great group of folks and just a good spirit. So we give the Lord all the praise. Well, I want to talk to you today about an important subject. It's the gospel and the lies. The true gospel and the false gospels that exist in mass that try and attack the truth of God's word. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Galatians, you know, Galatians is written to the churches that he founded on his first missionary journey. And in the book of Galatians, he addresses the fact that once these people put their faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, they were saved, and they were, you know, this new life in Christ. They were excited, but when Paul left, following after Paul were the devil's apostles, the Judaizers, and they said to the Galatians, these new believers, hey, you have to follow the law of Moses. If you don't follow the law of Moses, you can't be a Christian. You have to be circumcised, and you have to follow the law, and it's Jesus plus the law of Moses equals salvation. That was their formula. And the Apostle Paul had taught, no, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that determines your salvation. And he says to them, I am amazed, Galatians 1:6, that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. The word gospel means good news. You were called by the grace of Christ. We shared the good news about God's grace to you, but you've switched to a different gospel, which is really not another, he says. Only there are some who are disturbing you, they're agitating you, they're freaking you out, and want to distort the gospel of Christ, want to pervert it, want to reverse it, want to add works to it, as we're going to see. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. He is to be anathema. He is to be dedicated to destruction, turned over to God for destruction, like Jericho. Everything in Jericho is under the ban, and it was to be destroyed. He says, as we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. Those are strong words from the Apostle Paul, one of the strongest passages of Scripture that tells us, listen, we have to guard, as Paul told Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to us. And what has been entrusted to us as believers is the gospel of the grace of Christ, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, who died on the cross for our sins, who rose again from the dead, who offers salvation to anyone who will repent, turn from sin and self, and believe. Repent and believe. Repentance and faith. That is critical. And so if you don't turn from sin and turn to the Savior, guess what? You're going to die in your sins. Jesus said in John 8:24, unless you believe I am, you will all die in your sins. He is the great I am. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We have to and believe in Jesus. Well, the gospel is under attack. It has been under attack since the first century, since the beginning, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and the devil wants to come at the gospel. And the gospel is the finished work of Christ. It's the grace of Christ. We don't add to the gospel. We don't take away from the gospel. It is complete. It is perfect. It is unchangeable. That's what we've been entrusted with. That's what we share. Now, we see in our world today, we see all the false gospels. Any religion that doesn't preach by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone is false. I shared yesterday, I talked about this yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana, and we had a great time talking about it, and the Lord really used that message to speak to hearts. And one of the guys on my staff said, you know, Pastor Jeff, I don't brown nose you at all, but man, that was really good yesterday, and that's, we needed to hear that. It was important for us to know that the gospel is the gospel, and that's what we need to hold to, and we need to speak the truth in love. And there's such a tendency and such a pressure to get wishy-washy on the gospel and just say, well, you know, I guess it's okay. You believe a little different from the way I believe, but I guess that's okay. You know, I talked about yesterday about Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen, who, you know, wants to be loved and you know, wants to have this huge audience. And, you know, you can tell a lot about a person and about their ministry when you look at who is following it and who is celebrating it. And when you have people, you know, as he has said before, we have Muslims following us, we have Buddhists following us, and atheists following us, and he's excited about that. Well, there are two ways to look at that. It's like, well, I'm glad those guys are listening, but if you're not giving them the truth, you're not helping them. And if they can be comfortable in their Muslim beliefs, in their Buddhist beliefs, in their atheistic beliefs, and they just listen to you because you make them feel good, you're not telling them the truth. You're not preaching that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You're not telling them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. You're not saying repent and believe the gospel, or you're going to be destroyed. You're not preaching like Noah did, who said God is going to bring judgment. There is only one way of salvation, and that is through this ark. And the ark in the book of Genesis is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here is what Joel Osteen said when it came to the issue of Mitt Romney. Remember when Mitt Romney was running for president against Barack Obama, and people had real issues with Mitt Romney because he was and is, to my knowledge, still is, a Mormon. And so they were asking Joel Osteen about that, and this is what he said. When I hear Mitt Romney say that he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the Christ raised from the dead, that he's his Savior, that's good enough for me. And he also went on to say, I see him as being a believer in Christ like me. I realize Mormonism is different from Christianity, but that's enough for me. Well, how would the Apostle Paul have thought about that? Mormonism, that teaches that Jesus Christ is not co-equal with God the Father. Mormonism, that teaches that Jesus and Lucifer are spirit brothers. Mormonism, that does not believe in the full deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's less than God the Father. Well, that's another Jesus whom we have not preached. And so if you believe in Mormon doctrine, will you believe in another Jesus whom we have not preached? The Jesus of Mormonism is not the Jesus of the Bible. Who is the Jesus that saves? Who is the Jesus who saves? It's the Jesus of the Bible. Who is the Jesus who's real? It's the Jesus of the Bible. You can make up Jesus. Well, if you make up Jesus, Well, guess what? That's not really Jesus. You've just made him up. Did you know, and this was kind of funny, Jasmine Crockett, you know, she thought she had a real gotcha moment one day, and she was going after the fact that these Republicans had taken money from Jeffrey Epstein. And she said, you know, I just did a quick Google search and we found out that these people took money from Jeffrey Epstein. Well, she failed to realize, and then she tried to say, oh, I knew that, but she failed to realize that there's more than one Jeffrey Epstein. You know, I asked AI about Jeffrey Epstein. Well, there's Dr. Jeffrey Epstein. He's a board-certified facial plastic surgeon in Miami. There's Jeffrey Epstein, Dr. Jeffrey Epstein, who's a PhD, a pediatric psychologist and professor at Cincinnati Children's Hospital in the University of Cincinnati. There's Jeffrey Epstein, an industrious professor of computer science and engineering at NYU Tandem School of Engineering. And a Jeffrey H. Epstein, an emeritus attorney specializing in trademark and intellectual property law at the firm Cowan, Leibowitz, and Latman in New York. Well, all those guys are Jeffrey Epstein. They're obviously not Jeffrey Epstein, the dead pedophile. And so you say, well, you know, I can't stand Jeffrey Epstein. And somebody says, well, hey, I know Jeffrey Epstein. He's a really good guy. How dare you say he's a good guy? He's a terrible guy. Well, he's a board-certified facial plastic surgeon in Miami. No, he's this, he's that. He's the Jeffrey Epstein that did all these terrible things. So you can have more than one Jeffrey Epstein. You have more than one Jesus because you have the true Jesus and all these other people that go by the name Jesus, the devil's Jesuses, so to speak, that can't help you, that can't save you. You put your faith and trust in them, well, you're going to die believing a lie. Remember this about the devil. He masquerades himself as an angel of light, and his emissaries, his preachers, they also pretend to be apostles of light. They pretend to be walking with God. And so Jesus said, how can you tell the false from the true? You'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, are they, nor figs from thistles? No, you shall know them by their fruits. 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about the character of a false prophet, a false teacher. Jude, the whole book of Jude, talks about the character of a false teacher. Jude and 2 Peter chapter 2 are very similar. Jesus talked about that in his Sermon on the Mount. We need to beware. False prophets arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. You want to know a terrible story? I shared this yesterday from the pulpit. A terrible, horrible story. In 1982, Chicago, Illinois, saw a rash of strange deaths. Seven people aged from the oldest to 35, the youngest to 12, people in good health, people who were facing a headache, a sore throat, some kind of pain, took an extra strength Tylenol, and taking that medicine, thinking that it was going to make them better, they died within minutes to 3 hours max. Taking a pill that we would say, well, that's you take that when you're hurting because that extra strength Tylenol helps you with that headache. It helps you with that sore throat. Well, they took it and died because some sick, twisted, demonic-inspired person had taken that medicine, 1982, taken that medicine, bought that medicine, taken those capsules apart, took out the acetaminophen that was in there and replaced it with potassium cyanide. And the people, thinking they were buying something and taking something that was going to make them better, ended up making them dead. That's what the devil does. He takes out from the gospel or adds to the gospel. He distorts the gospel. He perverts the gospel so that what you think you're going to take is going to help you really ends up hurting you. It ends up killing you unless you come out of the darkness into the light. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are talking about the truth of the gospel and the lies. And we're going to be talking about Sean Hannity and his announcement that he left the Catholic Church and what the Pope teaches, all coming up next. Don't go away.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we're talking about the gospel and the lies, how the devil has put cyanide into the extra strength Tylenol capsules. He has added his poison and distorted the gospel. That's what the devil does, because he wants to blind people to the truth of the gospel so that they don't get saved. He is the one, Jesus said, when the word goes out and hits the hardened heart, the devil comes and snatches it away. That's his MO. That's what he does. He blinds the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, I believe that the formula for salvation, if we can use those terms, it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It has nothing to do with works. Works are not the root of salvation. They're not involved in getting you saved. They're the fruit of salvation. Works are the evidence that you are saved. That's what James says. Faith without works is dead, being by itself. I had a professor at the University of Texas. He was a Christian professor teaching New Testament. I took that as an elective, and you wouldn't expect to get good teaching on the New Testament from the University of Texas, but this guy was a good teacher, and he said this. He said, it's faith alone that saves. The Bible makes that clear. But faith alone is never alone. True faith always shows itself in works. How do you know? James said, you show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And so how do you know that a person is really saved? Well, Jesus said you know them by their fruits. And if you say that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and there's absolutely no evidence of it, you look through your life and no one could convict you of being a Christian in a court of law because there's no evidence that you show yourself to be a believer. Well, you'd have to conclude, well, your testimony is false. You don't really have a relationship with Jesus. When a person receives Christ, I've said this many, many times, how do you know? Because the acid test of true Christianity is a changed life. The Lord, if the Lord of glory comes to live in your life, you are under new ownership, under new management, so to speak. You cannot be the same. The song says, I will never be the same again. How could I possibly be the same again? The God of the universe now lives in my heart. What do you not know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Now, I grew up Catholic, And I was taught that I was taught all about the cross. I was taught about Jesus being God. I was taught about the Trinity. I was taught good things. I was taught that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, that he rose again on the third day. I was taught all those things. But I was also taught that, you know those things, and now you have to do your part. So when you talk about by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, the Catholic Church didn't teach me that. The Catholic Church taught me that Jesus is important, grace is important, faith is important, and what also is important in your salvation are works. And that's why in Catholicism, there's not this sense of assurance of salvation. I talked to a friend of mine one time when I was in college, and I asked him the question, do you know for certain that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? And he said, no, I don't, and neither do you. Nobody knows that. You can't know that, because that's one of those things you don't find out until you die. Well, why did he say that? He was a good Catholic boy. Why did he say that? Because in Catholicism, you can't know that, because works figure into the formula of salvation. It's grace plus works equals salvation. And how do you know that you've done enough? You don't. And so then purgatory, the idea of purgatory was created to say, well, you know, that not everybody, really nobody, as I was taught, nobody is going to go straight from this life to heaven, because, you know, that you don't have enough good works. And so you have to add to what Christ did on the cross. You have to add. And so you're going to go to purgatory, which is a place where you're purged and you suffer there until you can be made pure to go to heaven. Well, that's an abomination to the gospel. That is saying to the Lord, hey, what you did on the cross is not enough. And Jesus, I know you said it is finished, but really wasn't finished, because I have to add my puny little 25 cents of works to your incomprehensible sacrifice of the cross. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so when I understood that I could have a personal relationship with Jesus, I put my faith and trust in him and him alone for salvation. And I was saved, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, which I have did in righteousness, because I didn't have any good deeds, Titus 3:5 says, but according to his mercy. And Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace, God's unmerited favor, you can't earn it, you don't deserve it, he just gives it to you. It's God's grace, his kindness, his loving kindness towards sinners. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. Did you know that? It's not as a result of works. What do most people believe in America? Most people who call themselves Christians, what do they believe? They believe you're saved by works. There's a recent study done that said that, here was the statement, the Barna study. A person who is generally good or does enough good things for others will earn a place in heaven. And self-identified Christians, 53% of them said they agreed with that statement. Listen to the statement again. A person who is generally good or does enough good things for others will earn a place in heaven. 53%. Of identified Christians said, yes, that's true. I want to tell you, that is a lie. That is cyanide in the Tylenol capsules. That is such a lie. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You can't earn salvation. And what do we do with the gospel? We guard the treasure that has been entrusted to us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. Guard what has been entrusted through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Guard what has been entrusted. What has been entrusted is the truth of the gospel by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Don't add to it. You don't add works. Don't take away from it. And what do people take away from it? They take away either the deity or the humanity of Jesus, and they create another Jesus whom we have not preached. Every false gospel is going to either deny the person of Christ or the work of Christ. They deny the person of Christ by taking away the fact that Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. He's the God-man. He's the only begotten Son of God, as much God as though he were not man at all, as much man as though he were not God at all. Very man of very man, very God of very God. He's not 50% man and 50% God. He's 100% man and 100% God. He's a 200% person. You say, how did that doesn't even make sense. How can that be? Because he's God. How does God exist in three persons? Our minds can't comprehend that. But that's what the Bible teaches. And so we say, okay, Lord God, you're greater than my mind can comprehend. So people will attack the person of Christ or the work of Christ. And they say the work of Christ needs help. Yes, it's grace. Yes, it's faith, but it's your works. And if you don't add your works to what he did on the cross, guess what? You're not getting in. Now, Sean Hannity, who claims to be a Christian, whether he is or not, I don't know. He was Catholic, but he has since, with the dust-up that we had between President Trump and Pope Leo, he has gotten upset. Pope Leo is obviously very liberal. People have shown tweets of things that he had said when he was in Chicago before he became the Pope, and very critical of President Trump, very critical of conservative things, and now he's the Pope. And does the Pope believe, does the Catholic Church believe it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? No. No. He says he's preaching the gospel. That is the gospel. He's not preaching that because they add works in there. And he's not unlike other popes. But this is what Sean Hannity had to say, and he's not coming at this from that theological perspective as I am, but this is what he had to say about his relationship with the Catholic Church.
Now, I do want to shift gears with a message to the Vatican tonight, specifically to Pope Leo, who has openly condemned America's war in Iran while seemingly enjoying a public fight with President Trump. First, let me give some context. Like millions of Americans, I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. I even attended a seminary in high school, studied theology, Latin, went to Mass daily. But as of today, I no longer consider myself a Catholic. Where are the pointed words for Iran, this evil regime, the number one state sponsor of terror, the people that murdered 40, 45,000 innocent protesters? Not a peep from Pope Leo. Iran is now set to, you know, literally have four more protesters and hang them and kill them, including a woman. Nothing from Pope Leo. Iran oppresses women. Nothing from Pope Leo. Tortures them, rapes them, kills them. Nothing from the Pope. Iran backs terrorists in Iraq and Beirut who have killed Americans for decades. Nothing from Pope Leo. Iran drops bombs on holy sites and neighborhoods all over Israel, densely populated areas like Tel Aviv. And Pope Leo is not bothered to call them out by name. And while the Pope condemns all nuclear weapons, especially on the anniversary of Hiroshima, I don't think we had a choice. Same with Nagasaki. It did end a war, did save a lot of American lives. He doesn't seem interested in ever referencing Iran's unrelenting pursuit of them. And I have a question for the Pope. Is it the right or wrong thing to prevent radical mullahs in Iran, again, the number one state sponsor of terror, from ever having nuclear weapons? Today, President Trump raised this very important question. Take a look.
Well, I want him to preach the gospel. I'm all about the gospel. But I also know that you cannot let a certain country, which is a very mean-spirited country, have a nuclear weapon. If they did, they would use it.
The president is correct. The Pope is wrong on so many levels. Perhaps.
Okay, that's Sean Hannity, and he says he's no longer a Catholic. And some have said, well, he chose President Trump over the Pope. I think he is saying that he was exposed to the fact that, hey, I can't go along with this guy, and why are you not calling out Islam? Here's what the Pope had to say about Islam, and this is a roundabout way of getting back to our subject, but it really shows and it reveals, okay, the Pope is the leader of the Catholic Church, and I get it, they've had a lot of different popes, but this guy does not understand Islam at all. He doesn't call it out. He is a progressive, a liberal from an ideological standpoint. And this is what he had to say recently about Islam.
All of the conversations that I had during my time both in Turkey and in Lebanon, including with many Muslims, were precisely concentrated on the topic of peace and respect for people of different religions. I know that, as a matter of fact, that has not always been the case. I know that in Europe there are many times fears that are present but oftentimes generated by people who are against immigration and trying to keep out people who may be from another country, another religion, another race. And in that sense, I would say that we all need to work together. One of the values of this trip is precisely to raise the world's attention to the possibility that dialogue and friendship between Muslims and Christians is possible. I think one of the great lessons that Lebanon can teach to the world is precisely showing a land where Islam, Christianity are both present and are respected, and that there is a possibility to live together, to be friends.
Well, that's impossible. We can be friendly as Christians, as I've stated numerous times. Muslims are not the enemy. They're the mission field. We want to share the good news of Christ with them because they are believing a lie. And but here's the thing about Islam. Islam is not live and let live. Islam, it comes to take over. That's how it has always operated. That's how it operates today. We hear from them when they tell you their playbook. Hey, we've come into America. We take advantage of your liberties and your hospitality, and we have come to take over, and we are going to bring Sharia law to America. It's totally incompatible with America, with the founding fathers, with the Constitution. And so does America. We bring people in that will adopt our way of life. You don't bring people in who say, I'm going to fundamentally change your country, and you're going to accommodate me. And so the idea that the Pope is thinking we can sit around and sing kumbaya with the Muslims, he is totally misunderstanding and divorcing himself from history and how this works. And Sean Hannity has said, okay, I'm no longer going to be a Catholic. His reasoning would be different from mine. But when I became a Christian, I said, well, I never heard this, grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone in the Catholic Church. I was told about works. I didn't know that this was a free gift that I could receive. I didn't know that I could have a relationship with Jesus Christ that would be life-changing. And so when I came into that relationship with Jesus, I wanted to go to a church that was preaching the true gospel. And that's what I did. And so, listen, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. I have a clip from John MacArthur talking about the wonderful ways that we can tell people and Catholics about this Lord and Savior who will save anybody who comes to Him. Phone number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. So give me a call after the break and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about the gospel, grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is the gospel, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again on the third day, and that you can come to know Christ and have your sins forgiven, come into a personal relationship with Him, not by works, but by receiving Him, by turning from sin and turning to the Savior. No works involved, because you're not saved by works. You're saved by grace through faith. And works are the, as I said earlier, works are the fruit of salvation. They're not the root of salvation. An apple tree is an apple tree. And because it's an apple tree, it produces apples. Putting apples on another kind of tree doesn't make it an apple tree. What makes an apple tree is the root, and then you see it with the fruit. But taking apples and stapling them on a tree doesn't change the nature of the tree. So grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, are they, nor figs from thistles. So I had shared in my experience with Catholicism, I appreciate the fact that I learned a lot of good things about God, but I did not learn how to come to know God. It was all religion. And I think that's true for many, not for all, but for many. And the Catholics that I know that have come to faith in Christ, because I think there are many Catholics who have a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that's real, they really know Him, but almost without exception, They did that through another means. They didn't learn that from the church. They learned that from a friend. They learned that from a book that they read that talked about true salvation. I think about my own mom, and she started reading this book when she was having a really hard time in her life. She was about 40 years old. And From Prison to Praise, Merlin Crothers, and he talked about a personal relationship with Jesus, and she came into that personal relationship with Jesus as a result of that. And I remember asking her about that. She said, well, I never understood how much Jesus loved me. I never understood the personal nature of it. It was always just external religion. It's what you see in the old, in the New Testament. Judaism had just so dominated the rules and everything, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders had hijacked what God had intended. The law is our tutor to show us that we need Christ. Galatians chapter 3 tells us that. And the just shall live by faith, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And that's how it's always been. It's always been about faith. It's not about works. Works are not the root of salvation. They've never been the root of salvation. They never will be the root of salvation. So listen to what Paul told Timothy. It's what the Lord is telling us today. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to us. Don't add to the gospel. Don't detract from the gospel. Don't take away from the person of Jesus Christ. Don't add to by grace through faith. It's not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and the phone lines are lighting up. And so let's go to Tom from Texas. Tom, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. Love your show. I love you, man.
Thank
you. Got to ask you, though, about something I just started looking into, so my question is probably not even going to be phrased correctly, but I want to know your views on dispensationalism. As you know, most evangelicals, Bible-believing Protestants in the U.S., if not the world, have adopted and believe in dispensationalism. Yet it's a concept that was just developed in the 19th century, and not, the more I look into it, it seems to have some odd concepts to it as far as the five segments of biblical history and how, you know, one doesn't apply to the other and all of that kind of stuff. Can you enlighten me why, if in fact you do believe in dispensationalism? And, you know, the Catholic argument against it is kind of the things that I mentioned. And there are, you know, if you dig into scripture, you can, find further argument from Catholics that seem to make sense.
Yeah, well, I would hold reading the book of Revelation. You see that, you know, how things are going to unfold. You have to really explain all that stuff away, because there is coming, this day where the Antichrist is revealed, the man of sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 talks about a rapture of the church. Romans chapter 11 talks that God is not through with Israel. Revelation teaches that the Lord is going to come back. He's going to do battle at the Battle of Armageddon with the forces of the Antichrist and Satan. He's going to defeat them. He's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. All that is very straightforward. And I think just the natural reading of the Bible, I remember John MacArthur said this, he was in Africa doing something with a group, I forget what country he was in, but he said they wanted to know about end times. And they didn't have any teaching about end times other than the Bible. And when he talked to them about end times, they said, that's how we believe it. And so he made the statement is, you know, it, the natural reading of Scripture, you would say, okay, God is working through the church, but he's not done with Israel, and the Lord is coming back. He's going to rule and reign, and all the promises he made to Israel are going to come true, the Old Testament promises. And you'd have to go to seminary and learn other things to not believe that, because the natural reading of Scripture teaches that. So the idea that that didn't come into being until 1900, then it would not be connected to Scripture. It is connected to Scripture. Even if you ask, you know, I mean, take this with a grain of salt, but you ask AI, based on the writings of Paul and of Peter, would they be premillennialists, postmillennialists, or amillennialists? And they AI said, well, based on the writings, they're going to be premillennial. That's why I am, and that's why, I just think the Bible is very, very clear about that. But let me just say this, Tom, good and godly people, I mentioned this yesterday, good and godly people can disagree on eschatology. I have a lot of guys, Calvinist friends, that are amillennial. And so they would not agree with me. And they would say, hey, the thousand-year reign of Jesus that's talked about six times in Revelation chapter 20, that's symbolic. That's not literal. And so we can disagree on that and still be brothers. The things that I was talking about today, you know, when it comes to the gospel, those are non-negotiable, because that is critical. You can't. Add any cyanide to that pill, otherwise you'll kill people. So that's where I come on that question.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate your answer.
Hey, thank you, Tom. God bless you. We have Susan on the line from Oklahoma. Susan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. I just have a comment. I was raised Catholic. At this point, I'm not a practicing Catholic, but I think it's a good religion, but I do have a comment about the Pope Leo that we were talking about, or was listening about, and yeah. I think even a Pope can be a useful idiot.
He's very he's extremely naive when it comes to understanding Islam and understanding what is going on. People that said, well, Sean Hannity chose President Trump over the Pope, I don't look at it like an issue like that. But President Trump, even with all his faults, he seems to understand the difference between good and evil. And he knows that Iran is an evil regime that will destroy. And, you know, anybody who has as their motto, like Hamas does, we love death as much as you love life, those are not people you can negotiate with. Those are people that are committed to destruction, and they believe what they believe with all their heart. They're willing to die for it. They're willing to sacrifice their sons for it. Islam has the devil's fingerprints all over it. It is the religion of death, and for the Pope not to recognize that and to castigate President Trump and to present, you know, Islam in this positive light, this religion of peace. Well, it's never been that. It is not that. It will never be that. What do we do? Well, we shine and share with Muslims. We know that Muslims are winnable. They're the mission field. But we speak out against Islam because Islam is satanic, and it is leading people astray by the billions. And so we're required to stand up and speak up for the truth.
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, thank you, Susan. I appreciate that. Well, we have Kes on the line from Texas. Kes, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I have a concern. I hope it's a concern that you share about the Pope. His position is highly influential. I mean, it's leading a number of people, the Catholic Church, as it were. But when I hear some of the things that has been coming from his office, the comments, apart from what he said to Trump, or I hear he says that there are many paths to heaven. That's contrary to what the Word of God says. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Not one of the ways.
Right.
So his message is kind of Antichrist. And I'm very concerned that he's leading people away from the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Anybody that does that, that's what the Apostle Paul says. So if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. And you have that in Catholic doctrine. They say it is not by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. They emphasize works. Well, according to the Apostle Paul, that is a false doctrine. You are adding to the finished work of Christ, and that is to be shunned. Now, I have said, Kes, Catholics are, I don't look at them as the enemy. I look at Catholicism as an enemy, just like Islam is an enemy. But Catholics are very, very winnable, and they need to understand, and when they do, they embrace it. When they understand it's a personal relationship with Jesus, because they're so used to just going through the motions of, you know, I go to confession, and I do this, and I you know, conduct penance, and I try so hard to lift myself up by my bootstraps. And the reality is you can't do that. And so this leads me to a good time to play this little clip from John MacArthur witnessing to Roman Catholics.
I think the way you approach a Roman Catholic is not to attack Catholicism. So when you're dealing with a Catholic, what you want to do is find out whether that individual has confidence in their eternal life. The question that you need to probe is the same question that was on the heart of Nicodemus. What do I do to inherit eternal life? Or the rich young ruler. That's where you go. Well, you don't go to the system. They already know the system doesn't deliver. They know they live in that. They don't have any hope of heaven. They don't have any security. They live in fear, a kind of mortal fear. They try to, you know, do a few good deeds, go to Mass or whatever to buy their way into the system to secure their future. So you probe them on the issue of, are you sure that if you were to die, you would enter into heaven? And of course, the Catholic Church demands that if you ask that question, the person say no. No, because that's presumption. That in itself could be a sin. Do you have confidence that you know God, that you have eternal life, that your sins are forgiven, you're on your way to heaven? If that confidence isn't there, then you're not accepting a gift that God has already promised. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life, that you might know. Do you want to know that you have eternal life? If you're a Catholic, you're a Catholic because you want eternal life, right? Right? Otherwise, you'd be a pagan. Why are people Catholics? Catholics because they think that's the way to heaven, and they want that. But do you have the assurance that you have that?
Yeah, so that was John MacArthur. I think he said it well. And 1 John chapter 5, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. Eternal life is not hope so, maybe so, guess so. Eternal life is not something you get as a reward when you die. Eternal life is something you get the moment you repent and believe in Jesus. It's not a reward for the righteous. It's a gift for the guilty. And anyone who will repent, turn from sin and self, and turn to the Savior can accept that and receive that and enjoy the salvation that Jesus died to bring to you and to me. So thanks, Kes, for that call. I'm sorry, Lynn and Tom, we didn't get to you, but thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And guess what? God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.